Hi, this is David. If you own a website like I do, you know how important website security is. It's always a nagging worry in the back of your mind that one of the millions of hackers out there might gain access to your site and destroy your hard work. But I've discovered a solution. With Kinsta, they take care of the technical and security stuff, so you can focus on what you do best, creating great content or selling great products. Kinsta provides managed hosting for WordPress, offering lightning-fast load times, top-tier security, and highly dedicated human-only customer support. They provide complete peace of mind by ensuring that your WordPress website is always online, rock-solid secure, and performing at its best. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit KINSTA.com to get this limited-time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today. Thank you. Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from Self-Control, Its Kingship and Majesty by William George Jordan, published in 1898. Life is a wondrously complex problem for each one of us. Until one day, in a moment of illumination, we awaken to the great realization that we can make it simple. Never quite simple, but always simpler. There are a thousand mysteries of right and wrong that have baffled the wise ones of the ages. There are depths in the great fundamental question of the human race that no plummet of philosophy has ever sounded. There are wild cries of honest hunger for the truth that seek to pierce the silence beyond the grave, but ever echo back only a repetition of these unanswered cries. To us all there comes at times a great note of questioning despair that darkens our horizon and paralyzes our effort. We say to ourselves, if there really be a God, if eternal justice really rules the world, why should life be as it is? Why do some people starve while others feast? Why does virtue often languish in the shadow, while vice triumphs in the sunshine? Why does failure so often dog the footsteps of honest effort, while the success that comes from trickery and dishonor is greeted with the world's applause? How is it that the loving parent of one family is taken by death, while the worthless one of another is spared? Why is there so much unnecessary pain, sorrow, and suffering in the world? Why indeed should there be any at all? Neither philosophy nor religion can give any final satisfactory answer. There is ever, even after the best explanations, a residuum of the unexplained. We must then fall back in the eternal arms of faith, and be wise enough to say, I will not be disconcerted by these problems of life. I will not permit them to plunge me into doubt and to cloud my life with vagueness and uncertainty. We waste our time when we demand from the infinite the full solution of all mysteries. I will found my life on the impregnable rock of a simple fundamental truth. This glorious creation with its millions of wondrous phenomena pulsing ever in harmony with eternal law, must have a creator. That creator must be omniscient and omnipotent. But that creator cannot, in justice, demand of any creature more than the best that they can give. I will do each day, in every moment, the best I can by the light I have. I will ever seek more light, more perfect illumination of truth, and ever live as best I can in harmony with the truth as I see it. If failure comes, I will meet it bravely. If my pathway then lies in the shadow of trial, sorrow, and suffering, I shall have the restful peace and the calm strength of one who has done their best, who can look back upon the past with no pang of regret, and who has heroic courage in facing the results, whatever they may be, knowing that I could not make them different. Upon this life plan, this foundation, we may erect any superstructure of religion or philosophy that we conscientiously can erect, and adding to it every shred of strength and inspiration, moral, mental, or spiritual, that is in our power to secure. This simple working faith is opposed to no creed, is a substitute for none. It is but a primary belief, a citadel, a refuge where the individual can retire for strength when the battle of life grows hard. A mere theory of life that remains but a theory is about as useful to us as a gilt-edged menu is to a starving sailor on a raft in mid-ocean. No rule for higher living will help us in the slightest until we reach out and appropriate it for ourselves, until we make it practical in our daily lives, until that seed of theory in our mind blossoms into a thousand flowers of thought and word and act. If we honestly seek to live our best at all times, that determination is visible in every moment of our living, and no trifle in our lives can be too insignificant to reflect this principle of living. The sun illuminates a fallen leaf by the roadside as impartially as a towering mountain peak in the Alps. Every drop of water in the ocean is an epitome of the chemistry of the whole ocean. Every drop is subject to precisely the same laws as dominate the united infinity of billions of drops that make that miracle of nature we call the sea. No matter how humble your calling may be, how uninteresting and dull the round of your duties, you should do your best. You should dignify what you are doing by the mind you put into it. You should vitalize what little you may have of power or energy or ability or opportunity in order to prepare yourself to be equal to higher privileges when they come. By doing so, you will never suffer that weak contentment that is satisfied with whatever falls to your lot. It will rather fill your mind with that divine discontent that cheerfully accepts the best, merely as a temporary substitute for something better. The individual who is seeking ever to do their best is the one who is keen, active, wide awake, and aggressive. They are ever watchful of themselves in trivial matters. Their standard is not, "What will the world say?" but, "Is it worthy of me?" Edwin Booth, one of the greatest actors on the American stage, would never permit himself to assume an ungraceful attitude, even in his hours of privacy. In this simple thing, he ever lived his best. On the stage, every move he made was one of unconscious grace. Those of his company who were conscious of their emotions were the awkward ones, who were seeking in public to undo or to conceal the carelessness of the gestures and motions of their private life. The person who is slipshod and thoughtless in their daily speech, whose vocabulary is a collection of anemic commonplaces, whose repetition of phrases and extravagance of interjections act as but feeble disguises to their lack of ideas, will never be brilliant on an occasion when they long to outshine the stars. Living at one's best is constant preparation for instant use, but it can never make one over-precise, self-conscious, affected, or priggish. Education, in its highest sense, is conscious training of mind or body to act unconsciously. It is conscious formation of mental habits, not mere acquisition of information. One of the many ways in which we unwisely eclipse ourselves is in our worship of the fetish of luck. We feel that all others are lucky, and that whatever we attempt fails. We do not realize the untiring energy, the unremitting concentration, the heroic courage, the sublime patience, that is the secret of many people's success. Their, quote, luck was that they had prepared themselves to be equal to their opportunity when it came, and were awake to recognize it and receive it. But for us, our own opportunities come and depart unnoted. They could not waken us from our dreams of some untold wealth that would fall into our laps. So we grow discouraged and envy those whom we should emulate. We perform our duties in a perfunctory way, or we pass through life just ever sampling different lines of activity. The honest, faithful struggler should always realize that failure is but an episode in a true person's life, never the whole story. It is never easy, and no philosophy can make it so, but the steadfast courage to master your conditions, instead of complaining about them, will help you on your way. It will ever enable you to get the best out of what you have. The individual who has a pessimist doubt of all things, who demands a certified guarantee of their future, whoever fears their work will not be recognized or appreciated, or that after all it is really not worthwhile, will never live their best life. They are dulling their capacity for real progress by their hypnotic course of excuses for inactivity, instead of drinking in a strong tonic of reasons for action. One of the most weakening elements in our individual makeup is the surrender to the oncoming years. Our self-confidence dims and dies in the fear of age. We think to ourselves, "Oh, I wish I had known this or learned that when I was younger, but it is too late for me now. I am too advanced in years." This is but a blind closing of life to wondrous possibilities. The knell of lost opportunity is never tolled in this life. It is never too late to recognize truth and to live by it. It requires only greater effort, closer attention, deeper consecration. But the impossible does not exist for the person who is self-confident and is willing to pay the price in time and struggle for their success or development. Later in life, the assessments are heavier in progress, as in life insurance. But that matters not to that mighty self-confidence that will not grow old while knowledge can keep it young. Socrates, when his hair whitened with the snow of age, learned to play musical instruments. Cato, at 80 years old, began his study of Greek, and the same age saw Plutarch beginning, with the enthusiasm of a boy, his first lessons in Latin. Theophrastus began his greatest work on his 90th birthday. Chaucer's Canterbury Tales was the work of the poet's declining years. Hobbes, the English philosopher, published his version of the Odyssey in his 87th year, and his Iliad 1 year later. Michael DeBakey, the eminent heart surgeon, continued to practice medicine until his death at 99. These few names from the great muster roll of the famous ones who defied the years should be voices of hope and heartening to every individual whose courage and confidence is weak. The path of truth, higher living, truer development in every phase of life is never shut from you until you close it yourself. Let yourself feel the truth of this. Believe it, and make this faith a real and living factor in your life, and there are no limits to your progress. You have but to live your best at all times, and rest calm and untroubled no matter what results may come to your efforts. The constant looking backward to what might have been, instead of forward to what may be, is a great weakener of self-confidence. This worrying over the old past, this wasted energy, for that which no power in the world can restore, ever lessens your faith in yourself, weakens your efforts to develop yourself for the future to the perfection of your possibilities. Nature, in her beautiful love and tenderness, says to each one of us, do in the best way you can the trifling task that is under your hand at this moment. Do it in the best spirit of preparation for the future your thought suggests. Bring all the light of knowledge from all the past to aid you. Do this, and you have done your best. The present and the future you can make from it is yours.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.